And with that, we are going to continue right to number 8 on our agenda, the mountain lion season. This is the second reading. Again, this is the proposal that we moved forward from our July meeting, and I believe Director Kirschman will be joining us at the mic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Before, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, we get into the actual action sheet, I would like to turn it over to Andrew Norton, our game program administrator. He put together a very short PowerPoint. It's about 4 or 5 slides. Again, we believe the necessity exists to talk just a little bit about the harvest limit, what that means in comparison to a harvest quota, talk a little bit about the population objective, and a few items like that. And then once Andrew concludes with that, we'll then move over to the action sheet, if that would be permissible through you. So,
yes, thank you.
Madam Chair, then Andrew, I'm going to turn it over to you. I think, Chris, are you bringing it up, or is Andrew going to share it? Okay.
Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, I just put on full screen, so shout if you can't see it. Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. I'm going to talk a little bit today, as Tom mentioned, about mountain lion management. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Secretary Roebling. You've heard a lot of the public comment, so I won't belabor the difference between hunting with hounds or boot hunters. These pictures kind of show what lion hunting is all about. You go out, find tracks, and you either have the opportunity to use hounds, which pretty efficiently convey the lion, as you see in the picture. Alternatively, boot hunters walk after these tracks. As you can imagine, success is much higher with hounds. We see on average about 20 times as high success when hounds are used compared to boot hunting in South Dakota. So I'll quick start the presentation out here with just a summary of the data. I think these are the easy slides to present. There's nothing subjective about this. It's just simply the best idea we have of the population going forward. And I'll finish it with two of the more contentious issues, and I think you are full aware of those issues, but try to explain and shed light on some of the issues at hand here. So just a quick summary of the population the last 15 years or so. Generally believe that population has ranged between 200 and 300 mountain lions. You can see the light gray dashed line bounces around a little bit. That's due to sampling variation. The dark black line is a much better representation of that population. It's just a 3-year rolling average to smooth based on the confidence. And this makes sense with mountain lions and our hunting season structure. So they're territorial animals, so they kind of self-regulate themselves at the higher end. But in addition, with boot hunters, if you have more mountain lions out there, they're likely going to have more success. If there's fewer lions out there, they're likely going to have less success. In addition, that's also contingent on snow conditions. And I'll get into a little bit about exactly why we have the harvest limit that's set up specifically to address that varying success. So the harvest limit that we have, a point of huge confusion. We heard it in a couple of the public comments. In the hundreds of comments we got online, there was many comments that clearly thought that this harvest limit of 40 females and 60 total in the Black Hills was a goal. If we don't hit that limit, they look at that as a failure, and that couldn't be more incorrect. It's pretty easy to understand that if you've got 200 to 300 mountain lions and you harvest 40 females a year, after 5 to 10 years, you'd have no more females, no more mountain lions in the Black Hills. So I can show that in a second here, but just wanted to point out this by no way is a goal that we hope to achieve every year. In fact, the long-term average of 26 females per year is probably about a sweet spot of harvesting mountain lions in the Black Hills. You can see that's ranged 8 to 46, and that's exactly because of what I said about sometimes when mountain lion season populations are high or conditions are good, you can harvest more animals, and the opposite is true. And it's kind of a self-regulating system, and you see a lot of stability in it. So moving forward, the population estimate that Byron presented a couple of months ago of 275, we know what harvest occurred after that population estimate because that would have been a preseason estimate. So we can project that to this December, we expect to have around 250 mountain lions in the Black Hills. So two scenarios. One would be this red line here. if we saw the same exact harvest that we've seen on average and also the average the last 4 years, we'd expect 26 females to be harvested. That population would continue to decline. We don't know if that would exactly happen. Like I said, there's a lot of that density-dependent feedback with boot hunters. With lower lion populations, they might be less successful, and that population might not dip below 200. But if they did harvest 26, our best idea of the population is it goes below 200. I mentioned that harvest limit a little bit. That's that green line. If we harvested 40 females a year for the next 2 years, when the commission meets again, we're likely going to project that population to be closer to 100. And you can see pretty quickly, if that occurred for a few more years, you'd get down to zero. So the proposal in front of you, obviously not written by the Game Commission or the Game Fish and Parks staff. That was based on the petition. We tried to follow that as closely as possible. I do want to point out another misunderstanding in that the lion season in the Black Hills would not follow the intervals in Custer State Park. There's a semicolon between that and the Custer State Park interval. So just to be clear, the way it's written was exactly like the petition was written to open that up the entire season. But once that quota of 6 females and 12 total lions is hit with hunting with dogs, that would discontinue the ability to use dogs. What we would think is if boot hunters average 26 with some Custer State Park hound hunting, usually that ranges between 8 and 10 animals, we would assume an additional 6 females would result in 32 females harvested. And you can see somewhere between that projection of the 26 average and the 40 females. So it certainly is going to exacerbate that decline in population. I think the most important thing to point out here is that we know boot hunters are much less successful. Hound hunters are very successful and consistent. There's no way we would expect hound hunters to not achieve that harvest of 6 females. So we would expect that additional 6 females to be additive to that 26. And that gets back to the opposite of what the boot hunting does in the Black Hills right now, is that that's, again, self-regulating, whereas hunting with hounds is not self-regulating. They're going to be much more successful even when populations are low, and that's evidenced by the success in Custer State Park, even though we're clearly reducing the population in Custer State Park every year, and they're basically harvesting cats that come into the park as immigrants most of the time, and the small population that aren't harvested every year. So I'll just put that legend up at the top so you can see the estimated number of harvest as we project that population forward and get into what I alluded to, two of the more contentious things, and they're contentious because there's no right answer here. Everything I've presented so far is just data that's objective. There's no opinion related to this information. However, the population objective certainly is a subjective number. So we established this as one of the folks commenting mentioned through the Mountain Lion Management Plan in 2019. That was a rigorous public input process approved by the commission. I say this is fairly contentious because there's no right answer here. There certainly could be someone that says we need zero mountain lions in the Black Hills, and they'd be perfectly justified. Likewise, if someone says we need 600 mountain lions in the Black Hills, they could be justified too. There's no right answer. This truly depends on perspective. And I believe when the plan was put into place and this objective was established, we did our best to achieve that compromise between those two opposing viewpoints. The second thing that's going to be contentious, as you've heard in a lot of the testimony as well, is what proportion is fair for hunter types. This is no different than a non-resident discussion or a gun hunter versus bow hunter discussion. All we can say right now is we know that just over a third of the harvest occurs from people using hounds in South Dakota, and that gives opportunity to about 40 individuals because success is so high. Conversely, 65% of the harvest comes from about 1,000 hunters that actively pursue mountain lions every year with boot hunting, and 3,000 licenses that are sold. So obviously, if the decision is made to maintain the same harvest but shift some of that harvest to the use of hounds, there's going to have to be some compromise unless you want the population to continue to go down. And in that case, it would be taking opportunity away from those boot hunters who are unlimited right now and providing that to hunters wanting to use hounds. I think that should be everything. I can take any questions.
Any questions for Andrew at this time? Commissioner Whitmire?
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, this is Commissioner Whitmire. On when we talk about the Black Hills, inherently we're talking about the South Dakota Black Hills. With this topic, I'm not trying to turn this into an hour discussion, but looking at harvest just across the border in the Wyoming side of the hills, they have a harvest greater than ours in the immediate areas surrounding what they would have as, you know, the hills area. I believe it's about 66 is what it was last year, or the 2021, excuse me. When you talk about population, are you kind of, or not you specifically, are we as a department extrapolating what the total population of is in the ecosystem of what we call the Black Hills, and then our 200 to 300, you know, that we are targeting, you're trying to estimate what's in our side of the border, or how does that actually work? Because I know with the DNA, it must, you know, you must have to take into some kind of account that there's variation in the genetics that goes across the border, and therefore the greater population is larger than what it is just on our side. Or how does that work? Thank you.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
So, yeah, I'd love to talk about this subject in depth. It's the difference between what we call a closed population and an open population. So the mark recapture estimate is what we call a closed population estimate. That's just a snapshot in time of the population. Moving forward with that projection, that's going to be an open population where we say we're estimating the number of new individuals that come into the population, whether that be from birth or immigration. And then we're estimating the number of individuals that leave that population, whether that be from death or emigration. So as you can see, those projections projecting the population to decline would assume that we've got stable emigration and immigration, meaning a one-to-one transfer. What we generally see is probably the Black Hills, especially the Black Hills of South Dakota, having a healthier lion population than surrounding areas. We get a net export of lions from the hills. So that would probably sustain some of the populations in the Black Hills of Wyoming. That's why you see it a little bit higher. Likewise, we see that continued harvest on the prairie because lions are leaving the Black Hills going out on the prairie. So that would explain a little bit of that. But as far as estimating it with the mark recapture population, we don't have to worry about the population to the west of us, or likewise, we don't worry about the population on the prairie. And the projections, obviously, there is that assumption of a one-to-one import-export, so to speak, but definitely what we expect is it's probably conservative. We're probably seeing more mountain lions leave the hills than come into them.
Madam Chair?
I'm not quite sure where that voice is coming from. Oh, yes, there you are, John, yes.
This is so hard to do this virtually sometimes. Thank you. John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief. If I may just add a quick comment to that, please.
Yes, please.
Another thing I wanted to point out is that we do work very closely with the Wyoming Game and Fish. And, you know, one of the strategies that they use over there is what they call source, stable, or sink populations. And when they work with us and consider this population in the Black Hills here, which does extend into northeast Wyoming, as Commissioner Whitmire explained, you know, they're looking at us as a source population, and that population there with that aggressive harvest as a sink population. So just further explaining what Andrew did a great job of explaining is that we're likely pushing more lions over to Wyoming just because of those differences in densities. But nonetheless, we do work very closely with them to try to manage this population as a whole in the Black Hills in Wyoming and South Dakota.
Very good. Thank you, John. Commissioner Whitmire, did you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, John and Andrew. I guess what one of my back thoughts is, of course, you know, ultimately, you know, should we move this petition ahead or a version of it? Is that quantity and that take? I kind of have a feeling then that if you just, again, calling the whole Black Hills a unique ecosystem, there's currently, you know, maybe 110 cats that are generated from that, and that are being taken with harvest. And so, you know, say 10 addition isn't really 10 just to our 40. Should we, you know, maintain the same? It's not that significant. It would be, you know, 10 cats versus 110, which could be quite benign, I guess I would think, and certainly more benign than what we might anticipate if we were only to be looking at the South Dakota side of things here. So, yeah, thank you both. That sheds a little more light on how this whole discussion is going or what we should be looking at. Thank you.
Any questions for what Andrew just shared with us through the presentation before we hear from Director Kirschman? And Andrew, please stand by in case we have any follow-ups later. Thank you. Director Kirschman, if you want to go, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I would turn your attention to number 8 in your commission book, and that is the action sheet for the mountain lion hunting season. I think before I make some of my initial comments, Andrew did provide clarity in his presentation on the current proposal that you have in front of you that was generated from the petition. Again, for clarity, though, as it's written, if you look at that proposed change from last year, allow the use of dogs to harvest 6 female mountain lions and 6 male mountain lions, total of 12, in the Black Hills Fire Protection District, in addition to the 15 access permits that allow the use of dogs in Custer State Park. Let's be very clear from the clarification that what the petitioner brought forward in the 12 does not substitute what is currently going on in Custer State Park. This proposal is written that there is and would continue to have the use of hounds in Custer State Park at those 5 different intervals at 3 access permits set up at those time intervals. There would be the use of hounds in the entire Black Hills Fire Protection District with that total of 12, 6 female and 6 male, and then the use of hounds out on the prairie. So we just want to be clear that it does not substitute what's in Custer State Park right now under this proposal. All right, so we did not go in and change what the petition brought forward. It was added on top of what it currently is, the structure that exists for mountain lion hunting in the Black Hills Fire Protection District. So first, just want to make that clarification. I know Andrew touched base in his presentation as well. Just want to make sure that we all understand on the same page with that. With that, Madam Chair, I'm going to go into a few comments in respect to the mountain lion hunting season, and no different than when we had our conversation last time and looking at this, certainly understand the request from the houndsmen and the desire for more opportunity that has been shared here again today. Looking at the overall part of what this additional harvest may mean to the mountain lion population, and we are focused on the South Dakota portion of it, obviously. Again, we would still stand in the position of a no recommended change to the current mountain lion hunting season structure. One of the primary reasons, again, was the information that Andrew just discussed in that PowerPoint as related to the population objective, where the population is right now, running the simulations with the harvest that we've had in front of us, and what that would potentially mean to the overall population with this additional harvest with hounds. Now, please also take that from the standpoint when we say that our recommendation would be as a no change and leave the current structure. We say that primarily from the standpoint of the population objective and where it is today and where we project going into the future based on these harvest assumptions. It was talked about in the conversations today, the management plan, the mountain lion management plan was brought forward, and it's following the objective that was derived from the process of including the public, stakeholders, both those folks that use hounds or boot hunters, landowners, other sportsmen and women that have an interest in the outdoor recreational opportunities that we talk about all the time. I go back to 2012. There was a time where our agency and our commission was scrutinized very heavily about how we were managing big game in South Dakota. And the focus was on deer, elk, and mountain lions in particular, those three. And we went through a lot of conversations. We went through an independent review from an outside entity, Wildlife Management Institute, looking at our big game program. And I remember very, very vividly one of the items that they talked about in their report was the fact of the recommendation for the department to basically put together a process where we develop management plans for the management of elk, the management of deer, the management of mountain lions, and make that a concerted effort between a public process, the commission, and the agency. And we have done that. We have made a concerted effort, not only for the mountain lion management plan, but elk management plan, deer management plan, many others that we go through that public process. And in that recommendation, it's stated also to, through that public input process, generate a population objective that is very specific to that population and that has a time frame on it. And so the reason why I bring that up is what we have been doing is following the mountain lion management plan and trying to provide a structure opportunity that maximizes opportunity for folks, but provides a structure to fall within that designated population objective within the mountain lion management plan. Now, as we've talked about before, that's today. There's nothing that says that the population objective cannot be adjusted. There's nothing that says we can't go back to the drawing board and have those conversations and have that public input process. And if ultimately that's where we want to go and that's where you as a commission would like to go and want to see a lower population and those types of things, we are ready to, we are standby and ready to do that. We are more than willing to do that. And if ultimately that conversation leads to having a lower population objective, through our talented staff and working with our partners, we can come up with that season structure. And if that includes hounds, to get it down to that level. The reason I bring that up, again, is going back to, as the current proposal in front of us is written, that would be that additional harvest. And that impact on the overall population, we believe, would bring that down to that lower level. And that's why we stand with the recommendation of a no change and retain the current mountain lion season structure. Now, Madam Chair, that being said, we are certainly open to discussion should you as a commission body want to continue this conversation moving forward. So first, I'll turn it back over to you to try to answer any questions, and then we can take the conversation from there.
Thank you. So at this time, do we have any questions for Director Cushman?
Madam Chair.
Springs? Yep.
Tom, would with the change on the that you've changed so far with that, and like Andy laid out, that it could go under the amount you want for cats in the hills, could it be possible, like many other states, to have the 12 taken as all males? And if the houndsman put them up a tree and they can't tell what it is, walk away. I think they just took all toms. It's not going to affect the population hardly at all. And it just looks like to me it would be a win-win situation. Many other states are that way. You take males only. It's an option that I see that I think would maybe satisfy a lot of people, but that's my opinion on it.
Yes.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Spring, I appreciate that comment. And I will offer up to you, we've talked about that numerous times over the years as well, and there are some states that have some season structures that include a male only, and I'll have John Cantor or Andrew talk more about that if more information is needed. What we do think about when you consider that type of regulation, though, is there will be an incident or a few incidents or situations where a lion does get harvested under the pretense that it is a male and it is not going to be a male. There will be those individuals, whether it's due to adrenaline, excitement, they not for sure, but they think, and then, but even if they're standing there and confident and it ends up not being, then we have a situation where we have a hunter that is in a predicament that when that animal is turned in, we would have to do a citation on it just based on the season structure and based on that type of rules. So certainly, and I'll let the guy's staff talk about it because they've had a whole lot more experience, and Secretary Roebling has had a lot of experience. You get a mature big male up there, that's one thing to identify, but a younger male or an adult female at times and you don't have the great visual to it, can be more challenging at times to distinguish it. So could it be an option? It certainly could. There are some concerns and questions about just having a male portion or a male segment part of the season structure to be included.
Any additional questions for Director Kirschman at this time? Commissioner Bies.
Commissioner Bies here. Can you tell me the history of how the hounds got started in Custer State Park and the reason for that and the structure that it runs under, how well that's worked?
Yeah, Madam Chair, and I'll give the first shot, and then John Kant, please feel free to chime in here. So the primary impetus, when I recall, of including the use of hounds in Custer State Park was the concern of mountain lions targeting, in particular, elk numbers at that time. And we had very low elk numbers. We were seeing lower production of elk and recruitment of elk. Many different things going on there, but one of them was the concern of mountain lions and predation on there. So the concept was, how could we get a level of harvest within Custer State Park to potentially assist with reducing the numbers and help with recruitment of elk and production of elk? Then we went through a couple of iterations of how do we do that? How do we include the use of hounds? How do you provide some boot hunting opportunities? And well, and we had a few alterations to that, but ultimately settled. If I remember correctly, earlier on, we had more intervals set up for boot hunting and a fewer number for the use of hounds. We saw their success in harvest of lions with hounds. And then there was over time where it got adjusted again to the intervals that we are today of having the five intervals, if I remember correctly, with three lions per interval for the use of hounds. So it was a targeted approach at that time, and it's just been maintained since that point in time.
So that plan was pretty much put in place to increase elk and deer numbers because we weren't harvesting enough cats in the park by boot hunters. So I think there's been kind of a misconception out there that the hound hunters promoted this when it was a department's proposal to do this. Is that right?
In Custer State Park?
Yes.
Yeah, we, if I remember correctly, we were a big part of bringing that concept. Now, certainly, I'd have to go back, because it's been quite some time, Commissioner Bies, exactly how all the conversations went down, but we looked at the concept of incorporation of hounds and trying to figure out what way to do it and how would it work, and that was ultimately how we came up with those intervals.
So right now in the Black Hills, especially in the middle Black Hills, you know, where our deer objective is to increase by almost double. I think we're sitting at, what, you figure 48,000 deer in the Black Hills, and we want to get up into that 75 or so range. And we got mountain lions taking 12 to 15,000 elk a year estimated, if I believe right. Ain't that a good option to help get our near deer numbers back is by using some limited dogs to lower their harvest, get more deer coming back? Or should we just go to a lower objective?
Madam Chair, that's a great question, Commissioner Bies, and I think that's one that has to be answered not by just us as an agency, but as our public as well and our users. There's no doubt many of our big game hunters want to see more deer. They want to see more elk, all those different things as you just alluded to as well. And again, if that is the direction that we want to go, and that is the concurrence going through that public input process, we can change, we can adjust that objective. We absolutely can do that, and we can figure out that a structure and approach. And if that does include, as you just alluded to, a limited use of hounds or inclusion of that, we can figure that out and come up with some type of structure that can do.
So one other question here real quick. It sounds like by Andrew's presentation there was the boot hunters have our females at the tipping point to where the population might be on a decline now. Is that right?
Andrew?
Through the chair, if the harvest of 26 females would persist for the next 2 years, the population would continue to decline. As I mentioned, hunters communicate a lot in addition to just when those populations are low. What we see is harvest goes down. So what I would expect would happen if we did start dipping notably below 200 or around 200, success might decrease slightly, and we might expect to see female harvest, say, of 22 instead of 26 or something lower. That's that density-dependent feedback I was talking about, where success would go down a little bit. But if we did see 26 harvested the next 2 years, yes, we expect the population to continue to decline.
Has that been a pretty good average over the last few years, what they've been taking?
That's been the average the last 4 years. In addition to that's been the exact same average the last 14 years.
So to me, hearing that, it's almost like we are going to have to start lowering the amount of females that are allowed to be killed if we're going to stay at this status of 200 to 300 lions. Instead of waiting, we need to do something before that happens, if that's the level we're going to stay at. And if we're going to put dogs in the hills, we need to limit for less females.
Director Cushman? Yeah.
Madam Chair, and I think that's where it would come in at when you look at that harvest limit in the conversation. Right now it's that 40 female harvest limit or the 60 total. That would be that conversation, not only the consideration of the overall population objective, but then what does that look like for those harvest limits, right? And what you're alluding to is wouldn't be 40, but it would be a number lower than that for the female portion for sure. And that would have to be part of that conversation.
Because our female harvest will go up if we put dogs in by six, if
yes.
We do that.
Yep.
Any additional questions or comments? Commissioner Spring.
Tom, I was going to ask, do you have any statistics on Wyoming side of the Black Hills, which is a smaller portion of the Black Hills, where they kill many more cats, on the male and female numbers? Do you have any idea on that?
Madam Chair, I'm going to turn to Andrew and John if they have those specific details that you can answer Commissioner Spring's question.
Madam Chair, I don't have that information at my fingertips unless Andy's on the call or Steve Griffin might have it, but we could certainly pull it up by reviewing Wyoming's harvest data.
All right, we'll see if we can maybe get that later. Any other, Commissioner Springs, did you have another question or a follow-up? Comment, Commissioner Beese.
I just kind of wanted to let the people know where I'm at on this subject. I'm 100% for bringing dogs into the rest of the Black Hills. I don't necessarily like the way this petition is, because I've always said I would like to see it patterned after Custer State Parks, and that don't state that in here, where we put like two or three out for a few weeks, so it'd address like the big mash rush that was quoted earlier. I don't think that'd happen anyway, but that way you can control the amount of people out there with the dogs at a certain interval. And I think that, I mean, I would like to see that, but I do not like the way this is wrote. So in my opinion, I'd like the commission to consider reopening the mountain lion group, get together, get back, and get a proposal put together to address all these problems or issues. I said they're not problems, issues, to get dogs put into the rest of the hills the right way, is what I'm trying to say.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Commissioner Beese, I really appreciate those comments. And what you allude to is certainly some conversations that we have had internally over the last month as well, evaluating the current structure of the proposal that came forward with the petition. We've had some of those same conversations. And, you know, should you as a commission body want to continue this conversation over the next month to the October meeting, we have pulled together a perspective or a thought on something that is very, very similar to what you're alluding to, Commissioner Beese. And if that is something that you as a commission body would like to hear more about in interest of moving forward, I would ask Andrew and John to explain that further as a potential alternative or option for you to consider based on Commissioner Beese's comments as well.
Commissioner Beese?
I guess I would kind of like to, not a vote, but just kind of know where what the other commissioners are thinking. If that's something we want to do is not really table us for another month for different changes by the department to address some of these, or what are you all thinking?
Any comments? Commissioner Cole?
I think I would agree a lot with what Commissioner Beat said. It just seems to me, first of all, I'm totally in favor of using hounds for mountain lions. That's the only way I've been able to get them. So personally, that's great. But I think that we're almost premature in what we've got here. And I don't know what the process is, but I'm going to support the staff decision to not do this. And I think what Commissioner B says is what we need to do. I remember a little bit on the outside of when we had the problems with the elk numbers and everything else and what the commission went through coming up with the plan that you referenced. And I think we really have to do our due diligence there. So I think without a doubt, I don't know what the procedural method is, but that's where I would stand.
At this point, any other comments on Commissioner Beese at this time and what he's had to share? Yes, Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. I do agree with Commissioner Beese in his comments, and I come from the perspective that, you know, we have a fine balancing act here. We've got a number of individuals who want to, you know, see the use of hounds and whatnot, and I too support that, but the deer population, the elk population, that is a big concern, I think, as well, for those hunters in the Black Hills area especially, and as it kind of moves on out into the prairie situation. So I think we need to continue the conversation and whatever format that may need to be, not just completely drop it per se, but find a way to continue and to serve the best interests of all the individuals who have an interest in this.
Additional comments. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire, Director Kirschman, I had a reading all the comments, and I've got to say at least last 2 to possibly 3 years there were more comments on this topic than I've seen. And so, yeah, it was quite extensive, but inherently within that, there's a lot of, you know, assumptions or takes that this is going to lead to a population reduction. It's, you know, statements like, oh, it's about time, or we got to do something, you know, those kind of things. So I do think that it would be good to get public comment specifically on population. I think it would be good to have feedback, you know, from the rest of the state on, you know, what should that goal be? Because, you know, we start looking at adding opportunity and, you know, certain kinds of takes, certain different areas, if that should, you know, indeed have an effect on the population. I guess I'd like to address that ahead of time, that that's a goal or what have you.
Very good. Any additional comments?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner White.
Yes, I listened to the discussion here. And as a commissioner, at least my charge as a commission, I think, is for us to make sure that we're in control of the resources that we're responsible for, which includes alliance. Some of the dialogue that's been placed out here today gives an indication that maybe we have to take another look at where we're at with this. It also brings into question the elk herd and the deer herd. So overall, I think we have to look at the whole question about resources out there and come up with a projection that carries us into the future the way we want it to be. Thank you.
Any other comments? I will say this, and I'm going to kind of piggyback a little bit on Commissioner Whitmire. We have received a lot of comments on this issue. I think yesterday as we counted, we had over 500 folks on one way and close to 300-400 on another way. Many of them commented on their thoughts that the mountain lions have become too many in the hills, and this is a tool that we can use. Others worry about trespassing, and I know I was going to ask you, Director Kirschman, how that is handled when, because I know we use hounds today, if they are caught trespassing with the bobcat, how that is handled and, you know, some answers we could give. But I'll come back to, I think this is a bigger question than, or a bigger topic than just using hounds in the Black Hills. I think it comes back to people's perspective and perception on what the numbers are, what those mountain lion numbers are. And I agree with Commissioner Beese. I'm not against hounds in the hills, but I wonder if we need to talk this over more, pull together our stakeholders, as was mentioned by one of the individuals that came before us today, and just have a deeper conversation on what that would look like in terms of our population objective and where we go with hounds in the hills. And so those would be my comments. I don't know if we have anything else. I'm going to look to our attorney in terms of the tabling motion that was suggested and your opinion for the commission.
Madam Chair, Commission members, Secretary Roebling, John Katilnik, staff attorney. First, must disclose, I am not a biologist, but I think I did understand the conversation that was going on and understand what this commission is trying to accomplish. So I kind of laid out a couple different ways of going that route. In my mind, if you are wanting the department to go back and reengage in reviewing the mountain lion management plan, that's what I heard as a consensus. Then I would recommend that you could just reject this proposal and then it would be done. And then you can give the department direction to go back and work with the stakeholders groups, all those things that Director Kirschman had talked about in coming up with a mountain lion population that is, you know, what the public wants. And then after that fact, that's when I think Commissioner Beese's proposal would then be reflected based on that population number coming out of that work group. Is that an accurate representation of the commission's wishes?
Commissioner Beese, does that provide an answer?
Yeah, I kind of figured that the way I was thinking to do it would be to reject this proposal, and then wouldn't the commission, if we directed the department to put a department directed proposal in? Would that be the cleanest way to do it?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Beese, you certainly could do that. What I would tell you is that we are running into some timeline constraints as far as our next meeting is the last meeting where the commission can actually finalize rules and take them in front of the IRRC to have them finalized by this year. Otherwise, any action done after October will not be finalized and put into rule until probably May of next year.
Yeah, I realize that too, and I'm not looking for this to happen overnight. We want to get the correct information and the objectives on where the department want the mountain lions and how to integrate hound hunting into that is what I want to see happen.
Yes, sir.
Somehow. So I think, and if we can't do it by October, that's fine. I mean, well, I want it right. If it takes 1 year to do it, I'm good with that.
Fair enough. And then to answer your question very shortly, yes, I would just reject this proposal, and it goes away because it's no longer on the table.
All right, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is John Cantig.
Yes, please.
If I could add to the conversation, I think it might be helpful for the commission to understand that the department is on track to start reviewing and revising the mountain lion management plan here in 2024. We'll start that process, and our intention is to bring a revised plan to the commission in 2025. As we've discussed previously, some of the other folks here, we certainly envision going through a thorough public input process, putting together a stakeholder group, and I think, you know, the population objective, how we harvest mountain lions, all those particulars certainly could be topics of discussion for that stakeholder group and also part of any sort of public input survey that we might put together and things of that nature. But I just wanted you all to know that we are on track to do that starting in 2024, and I think we could incorporate a lot of Commissioner Beese's ideas into that process as well.
So, John, basically, if you start that process, that's 2 years out and 3 years before it can go into effect. I think that's too long. You know, I think we need to, especially if we got 2 years and the mountain lion are already declining, I think we need to address it sooner than that. Instead of waiting the full process for 2 years, then it comes back in 25, then you vote it in, and then it's 26 before the season starts.
Director Kirschman?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Beast, I think that's a real valid point. And typically we do spend that amount of time, but in this particular case, we can look at those pieces and I'll say expedite them, if that's the right word to use, so that we would be bringing forward some recommendations that would take into effect for the next mountain lion hunting season beginning essentially late December of 2024 going into calendar 25. It might preclude us from doing some other piece of it, but if that is your direction and something that you as a commission body would like to see, then we will at least that population objective and what that hunting structure looks like in respect to your recommendation of inclusion of hounds at some level or some form or format, we put those at the highest point of items to address in those early discussions that we can bring recommendations to you next fall for that next season. So essentially a year from now.
I think that would be adequate if we can have it in place by next fall for the following season, which would start in 24.
Any other comments, questions at this time? With that, we do need a motion and a second.
Motion to deny the proposal on mountain lion hunting.
Motion to deny, we need a second. Yes. I'm sorry, do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Springs. Motion to deny is on the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you, sir. So with that, I'm going to turn to our attorney again. Do we need an actual request now from the department, or has our verbal conversation that we just went through to move forward with a stakeholder group and a plan, do we have to verbally what we've done is fine? Okay, very good. Thank you, everyone. I know this was a tough topic. A lot of us went through a lot of emails and phone calls, and it was very good to hear from the public, and I look forward to coming forward with a better plan. With this, we are going to take a 10-minute break, and when we come back, we will start up with petitions 9, 10, 11, and 12.